Well, as I said, our interest today is in this showbread table. And this is all about going a little deeper into our devotional life. And we're pressing right into the tent, into this tabernacle. We started outside at the wide gate. We came to the altar, the brazen altar with the smoke, the fire of the sacrifice. We came to the laver where the priest the defilement of the world. And then we entered right in and enjoyed the light of the candlestick, that menorah that threw light against the gold wall upon everything that was for beauty and for glory in worship. In that light, we see two other large items of furniture. One is the table of incense, where the priest burned the sweet perfumes in the presence of God. And then the other table is called this table of showbread. On it were 12 loaves, and they were topped with a snowy frosting of frankincense. And every Sabbath, these 12 loaves were replaced, and the priests, they enjoyed the food of those loaves. Now, it's called a showbread table because it's a display table. There are two theories of how the loaves were displayed. Some were stacked in two sixes, others that they were in two rows of six, but the top of each loaf was exposed and the frankincense was poured on top and all was highly visible. You'll notice in our authorized version that the word show is it's written S-H-E-W. Don't get put off by that. Modern writers would write S-H-O-W, mean exactly the same thing. But it's a display table. Not very large. It's 2 cubits broad, 1 cubit wide, and about 1.5 cubits high, tabletop height. And it was meant to display this bread. The word show is a very interesting one. This is, it means face. In the Hebrew, it can be in the plural, but it's always translated in the singular. It's one of those unique terms. And so if you could think of the 12 loaves as 12 faces looking up, and the faces of the priests looking down upon these loaves. And then more importantly, you have the face of God witnessing, looking on, depicted by the cherubim that were in the very ceiling covering, looking down upon this showbread or display case table, revealing this bread. And so it is to get our eyes on this very bread. As we recited this morning, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And we have every reason to believe and to interpret that this bread on this showbread, this display case table, was to depict and to remind all eyes looking on of the light of the life, the death, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus. And just as those priests spent 7 days a week, the bread was changed once a week on the Sabbath, and the eyes of the priests were upon that bread, the Christian is likewise to keep their eyes upon the Lord Jesus and His righteousness. Now, that's not easy. We're living in a world of awful distractions, and everything that you own is probably a distraction to you to keep your eyes upon the Lord and His righteousness. Your television, your DVDs, your computer games, the news items, the media, the newspaper, whatever other books or journals you read, whatever business you have to transact, whatever you have to do as chores in your life, they all take your eyes off the person and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And so as a Christian pilgrim in this world, it's not easy to get your eyes on the Lord. It's true also that the Lord has designed this communion table for this reason. And as often as we may, we set our communion table. We conduct this communion feast, and we use these two symbols that the Lord has given to us, bread and wine. And by the way, on the showbread table, there was also bread and wine. There were flagons or bowls of wine. And we'll get to that a little later. Now, I have to be very careful here in my interpretation, because I don't want you to think that we got our communion table from the showbread table directly. Our Lord Jesus instituted this table as a change from the Passover, which was, the focus was on the Passover lamb. And of course, we have the death of Christ depicted there. And so there are shades of difference, but there are parallels. And what the Old Testament priest in the tabernacle was to do was to keep his eyes on that white bread, to think upon his Savior. We are to do. And this communion table helps us. These are visible signs to enable us to hold communion. Now, communion is only meaningful if we've got our eyes on the same object, if we're interested in the same thing or person. And so what this table does, it takes all our eyes, your eyes and your eyes and my eyes, and we're all looking at the same thing. We are commonly united in our interest in this bread, which represents the body of our Lord Jesus. Interested in this cup, which brings our focus, our attention to the same object, the blood, the death of our Lord Jesus. Now, this is a display of our Savior. It's a display of His beauty. It's a display of His grace to us. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord has given us this communion table, that we may just forget and get away from all the thousands of other things that fill our hearts and minds. And for this little while this morning, and on the Lord's Day morning, in God's house with our fellow believers, just look unto Jesus, considering Him, feasting our eyes, which should lead to feasting our hearts and our souls in a spiritual manner upon the Lord Jesus. Because remember today, in the New Testament, every Christian is a priest. Every Christian's inside now. Every Christian enjoys the light of the candlestick of the Lord, and everyone is to look upon this table, this bread that ministers to us of that perfect, righteous life and the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus for us. Someone has described this tabernacle as object lessons. This is the kindergarten of the Bible. These things are no more how we do it. We don't have a tabernacle. We don't have these items of furniture. We don't do it this way. But they are recorded for us that they may be held up as object lessons to guide and strengthen our faith, that we may get a sight and get a grasp, something to hold on to in our thinking, pondering the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. You see, we're not Quakers. When Quakers conduct their meetings, they just go into a meeting and they sit silent. And in the silence, they probably would read the Bible and read over verses silently and quietly. But in their silence is the tendency to be distracted. We're not called to be silent. I'm called to expound the book. I'm called to read the Scriptures and to cause you to understand the sense. What does this mean? How does this help me to live a Christian life? And so we come to the communion, this showbread table, and it's all about fellowship with the Lord. If you want a fellowship with someone, what do you say? Hey, let's go for a cup of coffee. And then, of course, you get tempted into the donuts as well, and you end up drinking and eating. Or maybe you bring someone along home, and you say, let's have dinner together. Let's enjoy our company. And this fellowship is around the food. The Lord, likewise, has ordained this as our fellowship. This is about fellowship. The tabernacle was about fellowship. God meeting with men. And here, this is how their thoughts were guided. This is how they interacted with the Lord. Now, This showbread table itself, just think about the furniture of the table. This is a display of the believer's fellowship with the Lord. We read here in these verses, firstly, about its materials. It's made up of two materials. One is shittim wood and overlaid with gold, the two materials in this table. And of course, it was meant made of wood to keep it light, and it was overlaid with gold to make it to be part of this house of gold. Everything inside that tabernacle that was of furniture was made or overlaid with gold. It was a house of gold, and it speaks of the glory of the very heavens and the fellowship with God. And of course, it speaks of our Lord Jesus. He had two natures. He is God and man. The shittim wood would lead us to think on his human nature, the gold of his divine nature. And our Lord Jesus came, took upon him this human nature. And there is in him this glory. And as you read in John, that we beheld his glory as the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And so this is meant to us. We're also given the dimensions. It's 2 cubits by 1 by 1.5, sort of countertop height. And the only addition I'll say, it was exactly the same height as the Ark of the Covenant. When they went in through the veil, that's inside the Holy of Holies, this Ark of the Covenant that covered the law, this table was exactly the same height, tabletop height. And therein is displayed for us this fellowship with God. And there's a way back to God. Also, its location. Now, if you turn with me to chapter 40 and verse 22, you'll notice exactly where this was located. Exodus 40 and verse 22. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward. Northward. So that as you would have gone in through the opening of the veil, it would have been on the right-hand side because the tabernacle was facing east. So as they went in, it was on the right-hand side of the tabernacle, northward, without the veil. This is the inner court called the holy place, but then there was a veil that led further into the Holy of Holies, where was the Shekinah glory. So this was in the holy place. Verse 23, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord. I want you to notice that. The position, but also it was before the Lord. This is not just for the priest to look at. It was for the Lord to see and the Lord to behold. And if you go back to chapter 25, 30, the last verse we read in our passage on this, it says, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. Before me, God wanted to see this bread. God wanted to see this bread. God's interest was in this bread. God's interest was in this display. And he was interested in seeing what these priests and how they were enjoying fellowship with God. I want to take from that a very precious truth to us this morning. Let me tell you, God is interested in this table that we have spread here. He says, if you look at the front of the table as the text, this do in remembrance of me. God wants this table spread. God wants to come and meet with his people. God wants to see the emblems of his Son. God wants to see that bread and that cup. He wants to see that our eyes are upon his Son. Very important. And in the very location, he says, before me. And here we are in the sanctuary of God. Here we are in the place where we invite Jesus into the midst. And he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And how wonderful to know that God is interested in this table. This is not just horizontal worship here today. This is not just something to do in the eyes of your brother and sister looking on. This is the Lord's table, and His eyes are upon it. And it reveals His interest and our interest in the Lord Jesus. Something else, you'll see its location or its continuation, verse 30, before me always. Always. From the day that Moses designed and erected the tabernacle, it's always, night and day, 7 days a week, this table was to be replenished, refurbished. It was to be, the loaves were to be replaced, and every Sabbath the priest did that. It was to be continual. Our worship is not to be some sporadic thing. It's not something that's to be one day a week or one day a month or one day a year. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. There's continual food, continual feasting, and satisfaction in the bread of the Lord Jesus. Now, believer, this is where the battle of the Christian life really takes place. The devil comes along and the world comes along and shows you some other attraction and want to fill your heart and mind with vanity, worldliness. Young people, boys and girls, new Christians, older Christians, the devil and the world wants to get your eyes and attraction attracted to something else. But the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth in me shall never hunger. He wants us to keep looking at him. Now, are you doing that? That's the challenge. That's the battle of the Christian life. That's where temptation enters in. And the way to overcome this temptation is to keep your eyes on the Lord. You've heard it many times, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You've heard about that pole they put up in the wilderness. And when they looked to the pole, the poison of the serpents was destroyed. They were delivered from the serpents. They were delivered from temptation. And my friend, the way to victory in your life is to be in fellowship with the Lord and get your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. And I know that's a battle. I know it. It's a battle for me. It's a battle for you. It's a battle in a gospel church. The temptation comes as a preacher. Preach something that will really tickle the ears of the people. But the Lord says, preach me. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Get the eyes of the people on the Lord. What Paul the Apostle did in Galatians is he placarded the Lord before the eyes of the Galatians. That's what the preacher's to do. And this is what God has called us to do at this very communion table here today. So it's a display of our fellowship. And it's a command, it's an ordinance, it's an invitation to get our eyes on Him. Now the bread itself, that displayed fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to take you back to Leviticus chapter 24. So did I say back to Leviticus? No, forward onward to Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 5. And here we have a description of the bread and how it's made and its placing on the table. Leviticus 24 and verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. Notice the fine flour. This is refined flour. It is ground. It is ground. And the impurities, the chaff and the fiber is all removed. This is pure. And of course it's Christ. What you're reading about here is your Lord Jesus. His life was the fine flour. He had no sin in Him. There was nothing of the world in Him. Nothing cheap in Him. Nothing that was defiled in Him. And as we look at this bread made from fine flour, we get our eyes on the purity of the Lord. It also says that it was unleavened, and thou shalt set them in two rows. Where am I at here? Chapter 24, verse 5. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six in a row upon the pure table before the Lord, and thou shalt put frankincense upon each row, that it may be memorial, even an offering. And every Sabbath he shall set in order before the Lord continually, being taken of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Well, we don't read it here, but there is a reference. There is a reference that this is unleavened. And leaven, of course, is a type of sin. And you can look at the life of the Lord Jesus and you will find that he had no sin. Indeed, there was not even the desire of sin. There was not a thought of sin. He was impeccable. He was sinless, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually. Every way you consider him. One has written, as God discovered no leaven in the bread during the time it was before him on the table, so he found no evil in our Lord Jesus during his life on earth. And as the Lord looks upon this bread, he looks upon his Son and sees no evil. That's the Savior that we're gazing upon today. And God wants us to see this. He wants us to view upon him. Now, it was baked. It was not tasteless dough. The taste comes from the break, the baking. And the dough had to be put in the fire and baked and prepared. And you're to see that our Lord Jesus, he is the bread that came down from heaven, but he had to go through the sufferings and the fires of God's wrath. When our Lord Jesus came from heaven and was in the manger as a newborn infant, yes, he was God, but he wasn't yet our Savior. Oh, he came to be our Savior. Don't get me wrong. He came to be our Savior, but it was his sufferings from the manger to the cross for 33 years. Every drop of blood that he shed, every agony he bore, every swear word against him, every cross he had to carry, every burden he bore, he came a servant to make himself to be the Savior of men. Consider him, taste of him. Look upon him. There were 12 of these loaves set upon this table, and of course the 12 was for the 12 tribes of Israel. And here you have these priests, the sons of Aaron, and they are dealing with these 12 loaves, looking at them upon the table. But these priests were working for the people. The priests worked on behalf of the people. They represented the people. And what the priests did, the people enjoyed. Now, the wonder of it is that we are priests as New Testament Christians. Peter says this, that we are now New Testament priests. And we're no longer strangers. We're no longer shut out. But we are in the very presence of God as New Testament priests. And we may enter in and enjoy all of the Lord. Now, verse 7 of Leviticus 24, you'll notice the frankincense. The frankincense that was put upon the top of each one. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row. That would make me to think that these loaves were displayed, not just stacked upon each other on top, although sometimes you will see graphics, pictures of the showbread in that manner. But this would appear to tell us that it was in rows, and each top of each loaf was highly visible, that it may be on the bread for a memorial. Frankincense. The Hebrew word means white. It's the word that's used for Lebanon, the white snow-capped mountains of Lebanon. It's also the word used for the moonlight. And when you look up at the moon and see that brilliant light of the moon, think of frankincense. It's the same root word in the Hebrew. Think of the brilliant whiteness. And as that bread was laid out six in a row, there was this snow-white frosting of frankincense upon the top of each loaf. So that when the priest looked upon that bread, what did they see? Brilliant white. Brilliant white. Now all eyes were upon those loaves. The eyes of the priest and the eyes of the Lord. And as we come to consider our Lord Jesus, God wants us to see the righteousness of His Son. Firstly, God's interested in the righteousness of His Son. That's His perfect life, His sinless life, and the merits that He accrued to give to us, to our account. God looks upon them, and God takes pleasure in the righteousness of His Son. And He says to us, if you want to enjoy fellowship with Me, this is the common object. This is what I want you to look upon and enjoy. I want you to see the righteousness of My Son. I want you to believe in it. I want you to trust and put your confidence in the white righteousness of My Son and enjoy fellowship with Me. That's what believers do. That's what this communion table is also about. God wants us to feast our hearts, minds, and souls upon the white righteousness of God's own Son. Let's do that today. Let's not come to the communion as if it's some mere mechanical tradition. Others have done this for generations. We do it. We just take the cup, we take the bread, we eat, we drink. To do so thoughtlessly or with empty minds is to miss the enjoyment, the blessing, the benefit that God has in store for the worshiper. Now, to eat, and the priests ate this at the end of the 7 days when it was displayed there, and they took off the old loaves and they put on the new, then the priests ate the loaves. They feasted upon these loaves. They enjoyed them. It was unleavened, therefore it was quite palatable and usable. Now, the Lord wants us to feast on Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. Now, when you eat something, if you take a book, the Bible talks about eating a book or eating a roll, what are you doing? You're just getting right into it. You're getting right into it. If you're asked to eat of the Lord, what are you doing? You are fixing your whole attention upon Him. And we are to eat to get right into the very merits, the righteousness, the benefits, and the blessings that the Lord Jesus has in store for us. This showbread, display bread. Think on display. And God has put on display His Son in all His righteousness, His victory, accomplishments by His redeeming blood, that you may feast. Let that fill our hearts. Now, there's a final part to this, and if we go back to Exodus 25, and the verse 29, there's another part to this table of showbread. Thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Now, to cover withal is a difficult translation. If you look at the margin, you will see a reference there to pour out withal. To pour out withal. And when you look at all the references to this showbread table, there was on it these 12 loaves, but there was also jugs or cups, or bowls, as they're described here, of wine on the same table. Now, wine was used by these priests to pour upon the altar of sacrifice. And when the sacrifice was offered up to God, they poured wine upon it. So the wine is related to the altar. And here on this table of showbread, the priests have come out of the outer court into the light of the candlestick, into the gloried apartment with God. But He still keeps in view the merit of the sacrifice, the wine. And isn't it interesting that here in this communion table, God has insisted that we take the cup, this is my blood, which was shed for you. God wants us always to keep our focus upon the blood of Christ. So the white loaves speak of the life of Christ, the righteousness, and the cup or bowls of wine speak of the death of the Lord Jesus. Welcome to fellowship with your Lord. Here's the way to enjoy Him. Here's the way God will meet with you. These common objects that enable communion. This interest in the same things. If your interest is in the Son of God, in His death at the cross, in the power of His blood, God says, I will meet with you. I'll have fellowship with you. I will bless your soul. I will satisfy your soul. And this will be the power of grace to your heart. We learn, of course, here that our Lord Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just a friend. He's a Savior, a sacrifice. And we call this the Lord's Supper. It's where we sup with Him. And just as you invite a friend to come and eat with you, that you may enjoy their company, talk over the same things, the Lord bids us to come. This do in remembrance of me, a memorial to remember, to focus on the Lord Jesus. I can never forget the words of Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher, who said, for every look to self, take 10 looks to Christ. That's Christian living. That's the answer to the pastoral needs of many hearts. Do you struggle with lack of assurance? Do you want to know how this gospel really works in your heart and life? Get your eyes on this display bread, on the righteousness of the Lord, His accomplishments. It'll thrill your heart. It'll satisfy your soul. And you know what else will happen? As you fix your heart, mind, and soul on the Lord, the things of the world will lose their appeal. They will lose their attraction. The money, the gold, the stuff of this world will just peel away, fade into insignificance. This is your delight, your confidence, your trust. This is your assurance of heaven and glory. And may the Lord meet with us today. And if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you must get your heart fixed on the Lord. That's the call of the gospel. I trust you will.